Benjamin Levesay, and for the next 45 minutes to an hour, I'd like to invite you to grab your cup of coffee, tea, or Diet Dr. Pepper, if that's your beverage choice, and settle in for our sixth episode of Fiber Hooligan. For those of you who are wondering who the heck I am, I'm the CEO of XRX Inc., home of Knitters Magazine, XRX Books, and Stitches Expos, and I'm broadcasting live from our offices here in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and we're having a lovely winter day this spring day. I'll talk more about that in a little bit. Before I welcome my guest, I'd like to apologize for not having a show last week. I told you I was going to do a snippet show from Stitches, and I didn't get that done. I had some issues with my recorder, and they were user issues. I think I figured out what I did wrong, so with a little luck, I won't have that happen to me again. I'm going to try to test that theory on it with another show in the near future. My guest today is a really wonderful man. He is one of the most famous crochet designers in the world. He was one of my buzzmates last fall when Mark Maraca and I joined him on stage to get our heads shaved at Stitches East in Hartford, Connecticut. He is the Halos of Hope Man of the Year. He has a wonderful line of products that can be found at stores like Michael's and Joann's. He is one of the best teachers I have ever seen. He is a true icon of creativity. I'm speaking, of course, of my good friend, Drew Imborski, a.k.a. the Crochet Dude. Drew joins us from Houston, Texas this morning. Good morning, Drew, and welcome to the show.
Well, good morning, Benjamin. Hi, everyone.
So I take it you don't have weather there.
Oh, yeah. You know what? When I moved to Houston about, I don't know, 7-8 years ago, the mayor showed up and made me sign a contract. And I wasn't allowed to tell everybody how wonderful it is in Houston because we're afraid everyone will move. But, you know, it's sunny and 74 degrees, like almost always. There's a couple months in the summer where it gets hot, but it's sunny and 74, and I have a garden and flowers and plants.
It's awful here. We still haven't picked up from our big ice storm. I can still see trees down across the lot, and I've been told it's like 7 inches going to be coming down by the end of the night. We've decided not to have spring this year. You know, I wanted to wish you a happy
Earth Day.
Thanks.
I should have said
welcome back to the show. You've actually already been on the show once briefly.
Yeah, the April Fool's Day show. You know what was funny about that is you never know if an April Fool's Day joke will go well. And, you know, and it's hard to gauge it. But I tell you what, at Stitches South, which was like 2 weeks later, so many people came up to me and said, oh, you got me good. I was on the other side of the room. I couldn't figure out what was going on. You know, and a good joke always starts with a little bit of truth. And I like to cook, and I like catfish. So it's not a big stretch that I have a catfish cooking show.
Well, it was good. I mean, the music was cheesy. But I think that the real success of this came is that, you know, we have, you know, a circle of friends that, you know, are basically in on what we do around the world. And we didn't crack. We didn't tell anybody anything.
Mm-hmm.
It was great. And some of them were not happy people. How did you keep that from them? It was awesome.
That's awesome. That means it's success.
So, yeah, we just both got back from Stitches South in Atlanta last week, and it was wonderful to see you again, as always. I didn't get a chance to really talk to you this time. Did you have a good show?
I had a fantastic show. I tell you what, I was just blown away. What I love about Stitches is every South has a different culture. So if you're in the East or the West or the South, you kind of have a different, because it's a different set of people, you know, have that different experience. And the Southern people are just so lovely. And so they're like, come here, darling, give me a hug. I just want a picture with you. And in the classes, everybody's just like so warm and friendly. It's just great. And my crochet classes just, they were banging. I was so happy to see the eagerness in their desire to learn better crochet skills. And it was fun. And then, of course, I had my booth, my vendor booth, and that was just nonstop craziness, which made me very happy. You know, this is my first South where I have my own yarn. So the response
you looked
to
really
it was,
good. Yeah.
Well, thank you. I really was watching, let's say that. I was observing. You know, my sister Deborah was there to help, and a couple other friends in the booth. And so I was able to step out a little bit and just kind of watch. And I was so happy with the people were responding to the colors and responding to the yarn and to the books and the products. And that made me feel good. I felt like I was connecting with people, and that's pretty much why I'm in this business, is to connect with people, you know. And so I was very satisfied with Stitches South. It was great. Did you have a good show?
I did. I did have a good show. It was busy. It was crazy. For those of you who haven't heard this story, we had a huge ice storm the week that we took off. And, you know, thank goodness Mavis and Christy went down a day early. They still got delayed, but they managed to get there. I got delayed a few hours on Tuesday, but three of our gang had to spend overnight in, I think it was Denver, to get there, and they were a day late for setting up. And Rick, who was scheduled to be our opening day presentation, showed up on Thursday, Friday mid-morning or so. So, it was
sauntered in.
I mean, they were just stuck here. We had this awful ice storm that just wouldn't go away. And so Elaine and Rick showed up late. It wasn't their fault. We were very lucky. The very talented Laura Bryant pinch hit for us on opening day, and she was awesome. She really is.
I was struck by her amazingness at the fashion show night because, you know, I've obviously seen her designs. I mean, she has a lot out there and she's great. But there's something came together as I watched the show, and her body of work just kind of crystallized in my mind. I was like, this woman is a legend. I feel unworthy to be in the same room with her practically. Just unbelievable design capabilities, sense, everything. She just blows me away. I'm the biggest fan.
Well, that's great. No, so it was
not the creepy way.
It's not the creepy way. No stalkers. No, we don't do stalkers. Well, okay, we do.
No.
We don't talk about
stalkers. Yeah. It's reciprocal stalking.
Reciprocal stalking. That's good.
No, we all stalk each other at some point.
We do, actually. I mean, it's funny, we do. Especially on Facebook, I think we really all stalk each other. I mean, we're always retweeting and reposting and resharing everything we do. But no, I was looking at your booth this time, and you changed things up, and it looked good. I thought it was very pretty.
Thank you. My yarns have a color theme to them. The first colorway that came out is by Decades, and I've been putting the yarn fibers and everything so that the fibers were together, and I decided this time I put so that the color groups were together, and visually the impact was really, really striking. It really was wonderful, and I just made the booth, I think, look even fuller and richer and warmer and more inviting because the colors were all grouped together. So, yeah, I was really happy with how it turned out. My sisters have been such a great help in looking at the booth and helping me to arrange it so that the flow is good. And, you know, because they have come and help and work in my booth while I'm teaching, so they really have a good feel of it. So I'm very grateful to their expertise and their opinions.
Yes, I think I've met them all now, haven't I?
There are eight of us.
No, so I didn't meet them all.
There's six boys and two girls, so you're up to three out of eight.
Okay.
That's a lifetime
we'll get
for
back
them to meet my family.
Yeah, it is. we'll get back to a little bit. Let's start in on you.
Okay.
You know, of course, I know who you are, and a lot of people in our chat room know who you are, but let's start off and give our listeners a little background history about you. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, as well as how and when you got into this crazy fiber world and eventually became the iconic crochet dude?
Well, my family is very large, and we're very, very crafty, and I'm the youngest of eight. You know, and when you're younger than your siblings, you really are always wanting to be like them, you're wanting to do what they do or dress like they dress, and, you know, they're always so cool because you're younger than them, so you look up to them. And because both my mom and my dad both crocheted, and a lot of my siblings crocheted or knitted or quilted or did woodworking, you know, the reaching upward towards being crafty was just natural. So when I was five, my mom, I think she wanted me to develop as a child, but I think the real reason is she just wanted me to sit down. So she gave me some yarn and a hook and kind of showed me how to crochet a little bit. And my sisters, who who also were crocheters already, they helped me a lot too. And I just became kind of what I did in my spare time. I was either reading or crocheting. I just really took to it. And so I grew up crocheting. And I actually think, you know, people have asked, you know, do your arms ever get tired or anything, repetitive stress or whatever? And they never do. And I think it's because my body developed as a crocheter, you know, like any other sport, my muscles and bones developed as I learned. But anyway, I grew up and went to art college, and then I starved for a long time because I was an oil painter. And, you know, what are you going to do? I was actually painting pet portraits for a living back in 2005. People would send me a photo, I'd paint a portrait, send it back. It was a very lonely, lonely career because I never really talked to anybody in 3D. But then the internet came along and everybody was blogging. You know, I heard about these blogs and, you know, I like to write. And so I started blogging and people said, well, you should blog about your what you love. You know, about, you know, your hobby. So I started blogging about crocheting. And at the time I was crocheting in a charity group, and the wonderful people in that group, it's Heart Made Blessings, they were calling me the crochet dude because I was the only dude in the group. And I thought that was charming. And so I called the blog the crochet dude. And I started blogging and, you know, about my projects I was working on. I wasn't really designing, but, you know, the industry started to take notice, and they started to see that my stitching was quality, but I'm a lifelong crocheter, so that's, you know, expected that my stitching would be, you know, nice and even. I'd have good tension, straight edges. For my students, you know, count every row. If they learn anything in my class, count every row. Anyway, so the industry started to invite me to submit designs, and I realized that there's a whole industry where people are actually making a living. You can have design careers. And so I started to reach out, and I started to go to trade shows and try to network and figure out, you know, how can I navigate my way through? And now I have 10 books and 50 products with my brand, The Crochet Dude, licensed on them. And I was on 5 seasons of a TV show. It's a crochet expert. And I started a yarn company last October. Yeah, it all just kind of came together since 2005.
It's an amazing success. You and I have been Facebook friends for a while, and I've been watching you. We finally met a couple of years ago, it really is an amazing, you know, escalation of success. I think it's well earned. I mean, I always kind of get amazed. I walk into one of the big box stores, and I see your brand on the wall, and I say, I know that guy. You know, it's
actually I have the same experience when I go in. Because, you know, when I started working with Wrights, Simplicity Creative Group, the ones that manufacture the product, you know, I started working with them in August, 3 years ago, and, you know, did all this product development and the packaging and whatever, and then there was nothing, you know, because they had placed it in Michael's and all these stores, but it wasn't going to come out till the next May. And so not that I had forgotten about it, but it just really didn't dawn on me what was happening behind the scenes until I walked in the store the first time, and I was like, wow, that's really awesome. That's really cool. I want more. So we've been able to expand the line to fill up more space. But to go in and
– the line of
– I really love it when my little nephews send pictures of themselves in front of it going, this is Uncle Drew. That makes me happy.
That's great. I know that your line of tools is something you're very proud of because, I mean, they serve a need, not just a branding issue, that you wanted a tool to do things that you didn't have the tools for. I know that you have had your hand in the design of them, not just the branding of them. Can you talk a little bit about the development of those tools?
Well, that you're exactly right. When I sat down with the nice people in Nashville where the products are distributed. And they said, you know, look, you know, we'd like to put your brand on some hooks. What do you think? And I said, well, yeah, I like that idea. But what I really want to bring to the table is, as a lifelong crocheter, I kind of know what's what I wish were on the market, and I know what my friends wished were on the market also. So, you know, as a blogger, I got a lot of feedback all the time. And so going into it, there was really this great relationship where it's like, look, tell us, you know, to me, they were like, tell us, you know, what you think needs to be out there, and we're going to try to get it placed into stores. And so we've worked very closely in developing kits and, you know, like my bent end yarn needles where you weave in the ends with the yarn needle have been very popular because I really made sure that there were all these different aspects about that bent end yarn needle that would benefit the crafter. It's not just because it's cool. It's because it actually makes the experience better. And the most recent thing that came out was the ergonomic hooks, the ones with the ergonomic handles. And I made sure that if you hold the hook, whether it's knife, pencil, or some do what's called a wand hold, that it's comfortable for everybody. It's very important to me that all my products really help everybody. And now I'm getting all this feedback from people saying, it's just unbelievable. They say, I haven't crocheted for 10 years because my arthritis or whatever took it away from me. But I tried your hook and now I can crochet again. I mean, that's so important to me is personally that my products are actually fulfilling this desire to help people have a better crochet experience.
And what more could you want? So you have a successful line and you're doing right by your end consumer. I mean, that's the perfect combination. I mean, it's the absolute right success.
Well, you know, if it weren't helping or making people happy, I wouldn't want it. I just wouldn't do it. I mean, I can go pull shots at Starbucks and make people happy with caffeine. You know, so my designs, my yarn, my hooks, they have to be fulfilling a purpose or it's just not worth it to me.
Well, I think your fans are and your customers are definitely aware of that. I'd like to talk a bit about that because you really have had, you know, besides success in the industry, a meteoric rise in the number of fans. I was with you a year ago at South, and mm-hmm. I think at that point you were 12 or 13,000 people that liked you on Facebook. And I think I checked last night, the Crochet Dude Facebook page has just under 34,000 likes on it.
Mm-hmm.
It's accelerating very fast, very
mm-hmm.
fast. Can you talk about what, you know, how are you? Well, I know why. The why is that you're great and that you're helping people. But can you talk to me about how you handle that? Because that's got to be rough because you can't get back to everybody anymore. It's not like the old days where you could talk to every single one of your fans yourself.
Well, that is very true, because there was a point where it was easy to be very personal with everybody, which that's important to me. That's why I'm doing it. And as the numbers have grown, it's become a little bit more difficult to do that. But in my mind, how I'm handling it, I'm not sure if it's coming across this way, but I'm hoping so, is that if people are coming because they enjoy the experience of interacting with me, whether it's through my hooks, my yarns, my patterns, or me, all I can do is just keep giving as much as I've been giving and trust that the connection's there, even if I'm not able to say, you know, Susie, I really like that sweater you made. You know, if I'm not able to get to it, I hope that Susie knows that because of what I'm giving, the connection is there in my heart, even if it's not there consciously. And so I try to continue to post based on the same, you know, I have a set of parameters that I use for my, when I post on Facebook or Twitter or my blog. And, you know, it always starts with, am I being true to my own set of standards, whether it's personal or through my designing, and then grow from there. And as long as I stay within those parameters, I feel like if I'm touching people, even if I don't realize it, then that's good enough for me. But the number of likes on Facebook has been very interesting to watch because it's kind of like growing exponentially. You know, friends are friends
that,
are telling
yeah.
friends. And, you know, it's all I can do is be grateful for it. You know, all I can do is think, you know, this is wonderful. But, you know, I often think this is really what it comes down to. My mom taught me to crochet. And she passed away when I was 32. And then I started my blog 5 years later or 6 years later. And so she didn't get to see how her teaching me is touching people all over the world. The thing is this is all going back to my mom and my dad, my family, you know, and this is the outreach of her just saying, here, you want to learn? I'll teach you. And that, to me, is the most important thing to remember is I see it growing. I see this as a success for everybody that's ever touched me along the way. Now we're touching everybody collectively, if that makes any sense.
It absolutely makes sense. It's so much a part of your personality to give back. I watch you at the shows. You're so generous with your time. And speaking of generous, I want to move on to another subject here.
Okay.
You are the Halos of Hope Band of the Year.
Yeah.
And for anybody that doesn't know what Halos of Hope is, you can check out some of my earlier episodes or go to halosofhope.org. I'd like to talk to you about how you got involved with Pam at Halos of Hope and the work you've done with them so far.
Well, it started back in Stitches South last year. I think it was just before you almost got arrested. But anyway,
right.
That's a whole other story.
That's a whole other story.
You said, dude, you know, here's Halos of Hope, cancer patient hats, you know, the whole backstory of Halos of Hope. And we need to raise some funds to send out hats because that's the big hurdle. You know, the hats are coming in, but we have to be able to send them out. And you said, would you shave your head? And I said, absolutely. I mean, I didn't hesitate at all. I mean,
no.
The thing is cancer touches everybody. And to know that there are boxes of hats just waiting to comfort somebody and that need to be shipped out, it's like, well, whatever you want, I'll do it. I don't, you know, no question. So we kind of got involved. And, of course, you know, the structure of the contest or the fundraiser was that with enough votes, maybe I wouldn't have to shave my head because people voted by donating. And so I did my best to rally my people to save me from being shaved.
I
want to
interject there I want to interject there really quick because I want to make a note of this. I was watching the voting, and we eventually decided that between Mark Maraca and you and myself that it would be $10 to save or $10 to shave. And for some reason, your fans love you. Everybody that was following you or a Facebook friend of yours would put the $10 in and vote to save you.
Mm.
I don't know what it says about me or my friends, but they went in the opposite direction. And so I started getting votes right away as well, but I didn't get the same love that you seem to have gotten, Drew. You seem to bring that out in people.
That's because I don't know why, but
I
think it's just because it's reciprocal. I don't know. But,
I don't know either.
You know, I'm a handsome man. Nobody wants to see me shaved. But then what was funny is then they shaved my head, and then I was like, well, he's a handsome man anyway without hair. So it worked
out.
We have the
video up on our website on the Knitters main page because I did a story about it, and you can hear Jeannie Randolph from Fiesta Yarns yell, Drew, you're hot, or something like that.
That's funny. Yeah,
anyway,
so
we raised all
this
money. Yep.
Go ahead.
Please. Please. I said, so we raised all this money, and then what happened?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was just doing what I felt I was committed to doing. You know, I said I would help, and I helped. And it was easy for me to do this. I wasn't... When you're helping others, you know, you never feel like you're being put out or you're being taken advantage of because you're doing what you want to do. You want to help them. And so for me, it was quite a surprise at Stitches East when I was sitting in the student banquet, right? When Pam got up and she was like talking about this person that came to Halos of Hope, you know, and really helped with this whole, and I'm thinking, I wonder who it is. And I was thinking, I wonder if it's Benjamin. I was going through the list of all these people it could possibly be based on this glowing, you know, gratitude that she was expressing on stage that night. So when she said, you know, we want to make Drew Emborski Man of the Year, it really, really, I I felt like I had barely done enough, let alone anything to deserve any kind of recognition. But to feel the love in the room and from her was just so, I couldn't even talk. I got on stage and I wanted to say thank you. I wanted to say, you know, I love what Halos of Hope does. You know, I support this so much. But I couldn't even talk. There was so much love in the room. There's so much generosity in this industry. Everybody I've ever met in this industry is generous in spirit, time, money, whatever they're able to offer up. I think it's one of the things I love about being in this industry.
I agree. I just Pam in the chat room just yelled, "Drew, you so deserved it." I just wanted to let you know in case you missed that.
That's sweet. She's very sweet.
It was fun. And then our hair all grew back.
Yeah, and then it all grew back. I've had multiple haircuts since then.
Okay, so moving on from that, let's talk about your design work. You are a prolific designer. You've done a whole bunch of books. Who have you designed for? I know you've designed for Simplicity. Who else have you designed for?
Publishers?
Yes.
Or just everyone? Everyone. Well,
just,
my first two books were with Lark Publishing, which is division of Sterling. The one book was called Men Who Knit and the Dogs Who Love Them. It was a knitting book. It was matching men's sweaters and dog sweaters. It's a very cute book. I like that one. I actually did my very first television appearance demonstrating one of the techniques out of that book on Vicki Howell's show, Nitty Gritty, way back in the day. That gave me my taste of wanting to be on television more. But then I moved on to Leisure Arts, a wonderful publisher out of Little Rock, Arkansas. And most people know of Leisure Arts. They've been around for decades. I think they really established a standard in the knit, crochet, quilt, cooking industries with real quality books. And so I did my next eight books with them. And I've designed for Lion Brand and Tilly Thomas and Fiesta Yarns and Karen International, Coates and Clark. Yeah, you know what I did? This is what I did. Any young designers out there, this is what you can do too. Because I worked for as many yarn companies as possible because it was kind of like on-the-job training because, you know, they're willing to work with young designers that aren't maybe as experienced as others and kind of help you through the process a little bit. So I kind of learned how to write patterns, what's expected of the industry, how to work well with yarns of different weights and different styles and all that, by working with a bunch of yarn companies. So I've designed for everyone, it feels like.
Well, and you talked about...
I get around.
We had this conversation with Marley, and as long as they get good value, there's nothing wrong with getting around. Drew.
That's right.
That's right. So you talked about being on TV. You've been on TV a lot. You've been on with Brett, and you've been on with... Yeah. Can you talk about your TV experiences?
Well, it's really interesting to me. I went out and did a couple episodes on Vicki Howell's show, which I wish still was on the air. Whoever made the decision to stop that show, I want to talk to them, but because it was such a high-quality show, and Vicki was so amazing on it. Anyway, it's still in reruns, I think. I kind of discovered that all of a sudden, if you're on TV, you're teaching more than the 20 people in your classroom. You're teaching practically an unlimited number of people. I discovered that demonstrating on television is like the largest classroom you could possibly have. And there's something so satisfying about knowing that I could be touching people I'll never know or meet. And so I kind of got hooked on that, hooked. And then when Brett took over the show on PBS called Knit and Crochet Now, along with Candy Jensen, the producer. And they called up and said, you know, send us some tapes. We'd like to consider you for the crochet expert. You know, I was all over it. I sent in any clips I had on a DVD. And then when they hired me to be on the show, I just, that time in front of the camera where I'm demonstrating crochet or knit, it's just, I can just feel that I'm like in the zone of, I am doing what I'm here to do. This is going out to people. It's going to touch them. It's going to help them. you know, it really makes me feel like this is it. This is the zone right here. So anytime I have an opportunity to demonstrate on television, I take advantage of. You know, I did, I think, 4 seasons with Brett on Knit and Crochet Now, and those are all on DVD. And a lot of people have told me that those DVDs are in their public libraries. So if anyone wants to catch old seasons of that, you know, it's still very helpful. Check out your public library system. It's called Knit and Crochet Now. And there's,
yeah, you and Brett had some amazing episodes. You really did. There were some great episodes there. Yeah.
I think we had a good rapport. I think we could read each other on camera very, very well to where we brought out the best in what we were trying to showcase. And, that goes a long way.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, and you said it just perfectly, you and Brett had a great rapport. I don't know Brett as well as you do. I think you introduced me to her the first time at this last TNA in Columbus. She's pretty personable, yeah.
She's wonderful, yeah. Love Brett.
So let's move on from this. Let's talk about your first foray into selling directly to the public. And I remember what this was. It was 2 Stitches West ago, and you decided to come out with Crochet Dude Experience 1.0.
Yeah.
Can we talk about that?
Yeah. I think I had gone to Stitches a full cycle, you know, through all 4 shows. And, you know, I was just thinking, how can I really, I'm here, I really want to touch more people than I'm already touching. You know, my classes are great, but I'm here and there's all these people. So at Stitches Midwest last year, I launched the Crochet Dude Experience 1.0, as you put it. That's a great way to put it because it's evolved so much since then. And I had a little 10x10 booth, and I just brought together all my books and all my tools so that they are all in one place and, you know, with me in the middle of it. So anybody who's been out there and, you know, they live in the country or whatever and they hadn't been able to get access to everything that I had put out, I wanted to provide this venue. And so at Midwest, that's what I did. And I thought it was very successful. I was very happy with the response and the traffic. The booth needed to be bigger because there needed to be more room. So we, you know, evolved and got a bigger booth. But, yeah, so that made me think, you know what? This is a great platform on which to now grow again. Because while the Crochet Dude is getting bigger, it wasn't really moving anywhere. And, you know, and as an entrepreneur and as an artist and as a business person, you always want to feel like you're moving from point A to point B, you know. And so by now having a retail experience where I'm interacting with the consumers directly, I felt like I was once again moving in a direction. So I just kind of buckled up and went for the ride.
Well, you definitely did, because your next experience beyond that was to become a yarn company. Very, very quickly out of the bag. And I know that this is something you've been thinking about and working on for a while, but for our listeners that don't know much about that process and how it came about, could you talk about the decision and a little bit about the development of your first line?
Well, I think what you were saying is actually a great thing to remember is, although things look like they happen overnight, they usually are stewing in the background. You know, you've simmered on the concept. You've thought about it quite a bit. But that doesn't mean it's time. And I think timing is everything. You never want to be too successful too quick so you burn out. You know, you have to lay a foundation, pay your dues is how I like to put it. But the whole time you're doing that, you know, while I was just, you know, all I had was one book on my resume, I was thinking about, well, what if I did cruises? What if I had a line of products? What if I had a yarn? How would that look? And so the whole time I was developing my second book or my third book or got the TV show, all these things have been stewing in the background and just waiting for that moment where it's like, aha, it's time. And that's kind of what happened last year after Stitches Midwest, where my booth was the Crochet Dude Experience, where it was books and hooks. You know, Labor Day was right after, that was in August. Labor Day was right after that, and I was flipping burgers. I remember it vividly. I was flipping burgers thinking, what would make this just that much better? What would make what I'm doing the next step. And I thought, you know, maybe it's time to have yarn. You know, maybe it's time that I have a yarn that I've designed. You know, the colors are mine. It's not available anywhere else that supports everything that I've been trying to do. And, of course, then it very quickly comes to mind is, do I team up with an established yarn company? You know, do I license my brand once again to Coates & Clark or you know, any of the stores that have good distribution? And that's a wonderful option. But I kind of felt like the Crochet Dude experience at Midwest showed me what it was like to kind of be not in control, but really kind of like the epicenter of what's going on. Because when you license your brand out, you're giving up a lot of control. And that's wonderful. It's a win-win. But I kind of just saw what it was like to kind of be the center of it, the epicenter. And so I thought, I'm going to try to do the yarn myself. And so, you know, I sourced it. I found a wonderful place to get it dyed. It's dyed in America. And then I had to come up with I wanted to launch it at East for some reason, which is October. I don't know why I thought September to October was plenty of time to start a yarn company. Because, you know, I like to sleep is the thing. At least more than 2 hours a night. And that's really fast. So, but by golly, I was able to work with this wonderful company and design my colors, get it dyed up and labeled and shipped to do their world debut at Stitches East. And the response has been wonderful. You know, I'm all about throwing parties and stuff like that. And I learned a long time ago, if you want to have a successful party that's not difficult to throw, you want to have a theme. You know, if you have a theme, it's easy to support it. I had a spring fling party once at my house years ago, and I thought bugs and flowers, that's the theme because it's spring. So anytime I found paper plates that had ladybugs on it, bam, there it is. I found napkins with flowers on it, bam, I got them. And then when I put it all together, you know, the table looked like spring. But it's because I had a theme that made it so easy. So when it came to the yarn, I knew I had to have a theme. And so I thought, wouldn't it be great if the first colorway was called Decades, and it was all yarn from different decades. And what my experience has been is while working with yarn companies is wonderful, I've noticed that yarn companies have to very much stay on trend, you know, because that's kind of like necessary. If you're going to keep big distribution and big stores, you have to stay on trend. And so they very quickly discontinue colors. And I respect that. But as the end crafter, as the person actually using the yarn, it's kind of like, oh, I like that color. You know, that was my favorite color, and now it doesn't exist anymore. So when I started this Decades colorway, the whole concept, it was to fulfill that need to resurrect these colors that we know and love from our lives. You know, the tagline for my yarn is your life, your colors. And what I've seen is that, like, at the Stitches shows, people come in and go, oh, my gosh, I remember this. I love it. And they take it, and they want to have that shade of blue that they loved when they were little kids. And so I started with five different decades, the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90s. And within each of those decades, there are five colors. And they're, like, the five quintessential colors of that decade. And then within the decades, I have three different fibers, which is Iconic, which I named it that because I was naming the names after what people have called me. So it's Drew Imborski Iconic. And the reason I did that is because this guy I know named Benjamin, he called me Iconic last year. I don't know where. I know. I remember it was during New Year's when he was posting little blurbs about people in his life. And he called me Iconic. So, and by he, I mean you. I didn't know if you caught
yep.
that. But anyway,
I caught that thing.
So it's Drew Imborski Iconic. It's a worsted weight superwash, beautiful wool. It's just, I love it. Good workhorse yarn. And then Drew Imborski Inappropriate, which I've been called. It's like, Drew, come on, that's inappropriate. So I named my yarn that. That's a sport weight, and it's a superwash merino nylon blend. It's great for socks and shawls and all that. And then there's Drew and Morsky Sarcastic, which I don't know why I would call it that because I'm the least sarcastic person I know. But
I was going to say.
And that's a wonderful 50-50 cotton tensile blend. It's like a DK weight. It's really soft and luxurious. It's great if you have wool allergies or if you live in the South. You know, it's just a lovely, lovely yarn. So the yarn's really developed very, very quickly. And the response is what I was saying before, when people walk in and it touches them on some level emotionally, then I feel like that's my job right there. I've done it. I fulfilled what I really came here to do, which is, you know, to make people happy. I just want people to respond to the yarn in a way that enriches their lives.
Well, I've been having so much fun watching this because when your yarns came out and I was reading the names, there's some great names. And I still remember it was your debut of your yarns, and you had put a piece together. And listening to Rick read the name of the piece and the yarn on the Fashion Show runway stage was priceless. Can you tell everybody what that piece was?
Well, first of all, you have to promise not to tell him what I'm about to say.
Okay.
You promise?
He's
okay.
He's probably listening.
Well, that's beside the point. Just don't tell him I said.
Okay, I will.
I wanted to see Rick on stage say what I wrote. I thought that would be joyful for everybody, and it really, truly was. So I made this little sleeveless duster crocheted cardigan thingy that reminded me of from the 50s. You're kind of like what they wear on Mad Men a little bit. And so I looked up different slang terms from the 50s because I wanted to call this sweater something from the 50s. Well, apparently there was an activity that the teenagers had in the 50s that they called backseat dingo. And I'm not really sure what it is, but I'm using my imagination. So the name of the garment was backseat bingo. So, but then the color was this beautiful pink, which I happen to call panty raid. Another activity that the teenagers had back in the 50s. So we all got to watch Rick on stage saying, here's backseat bingo in color panty raid, which just made us all happy.
Oh, it was good.
A warm glow came over everybody in the row I was sitting in.
he was great. He kept a straight face the whole time.
He did giggle at South when he had to say Drew and Borsky inappropriate.
Yes, yes.
Made me happy too.
Now,
Carol, my goal at Stitches is to make Rick giggle. So, gotta have goals,
so,
Benjamin.
Well, you gotta have goals. That's absolutely, and they should never be too serious. So this new line, you brought it out. You brought it to Stitches East, and obviously, I mean, it has got to be said because we don't want to mislead people. This is just for crocheters. You're not allowed to knit with this yarn, right?
I'm laughing because I have to put that on the label because you are not the fifth person to say that to me. I've had people come in the booth at Stitches and go, oh, crochet yarn. I was looking for knitting yarn. And I have to look at them and I have to breathe and wait 5 seconds or 10 seconds and go, oh, no, you can knit with it too because it's yarn. They crack me up, but yes. It is worth noting that this yarn is wonderful for knitting and crocheting.
It is. And I actually think that they're in your store, you actually show swatches of it knit up and crocheted up,
yes.
Right? That's how you display it in your store. Yeah.
That's correct. On my website, drewandborsky.com, when I was going to put the slide, I wanted to show how it worked up because it's a new yarn, so people needed, you know, probably would want to see that. So it was important to me to show the swatch with knit and crochet. Because yarn does work up differently. The process of knitting is, you're like weaving almost. With crochet, you're tying little knots. So it makes the yarn look different. So I made sure that every single color is worked up in knit and crochet on my website. So everyone can see what it looks like in each of the two crafts.
That's important to me,
no one ever feels disenfranchised. It's very important that everyone feels included. So, you know, yarn came out, it's for everybody. My hooks came out, it's for everybody. You know, it's important that everybody feels included in what I'm doing.
Well, and after decades, you moved into your next line, which was?
Yeah, because I couldn't stop. Somebody stop me. Yeah, I came out with the decades, which was wonderful, and those colors are great. But then I came up with my next colorway. I thought, what if I were to put out yarns that look like all the different birthstones? And so I called that colorway Gemstones. And in the Gemstones, you can find all 12 of the birthstones. Plus, I also added Onyx, which is like a black, because I didn't have any black anywhere in my colorways. So now I have all these colors that are your birthstones. It was so funny because when I was developing those colors, I was in Albuquerque where I get my yarns dyed. And I said to the lovely lady that dyes my yarn, I said, look, this is called opal. You know what an opal is. And of course. I said, it's just this creamy color, and it's just got these little kisses of mint and peach in it. And she goes, oh, okay. And so I'm sitting there, and like 10 minutes later, she comes in with this yarn that looks like opal. And she goes, do you mean like this? I was like, how do you do that? It was just unbelievable to see yarn that looks like opals. It's just beautiful. So, yeah. As somebody said on the website, my gemstones have been very popular and currently out of stock. So, but they will be back in stock in the middle of May. So, you know,
cool.
Get something else while you're there.
Absolutely.
But you can see all the colors on the website right now if you want to check them out.
Right, and that's drewandborski.com, and it's a great website. So as
you're
waiting for your fibers, you're, of course, doing – what a good yarn company does, and increasing your pattern support, that's got to be a time-consuming thing because you're pretty much designing everything for yourself, right?
That's correct, yeah, absolutely. I started off feeling like I needed to really get a good base of my own designs, and so I've been doing a lot of the designing myself for pattern support, and it's been fun because most of them have been debuting on the runway at a different stitches event each time. And so, you know, it's not often you can get such great direct feedback from, you know, from the people that might make your stuff. And so I've been putting them on the runway as I've been doing them, and people come in the booth and go, oh, I love that. Oh, that my daughter would look cute in that. So it's great to get that feedback as I'm developing the patterns because it's helping me to adjust in my mind what people that might use my yarn would want to make. So, yeah, it is pretty time-consuming. I'm currently restructuring how I work each day because, designing is a creative process. And I have my background in art, so I have a history of knowing how to tap into the creativity I need to in order to, you know, accomplish my goals. But in order to do that, I have to clear my schedule a little bit. So instead of working, like, half days on designs and half days on paperwork or whatever, I'm going to start blocking out full days so that I can really get into the designing process. And I'm really looking forward to seeing what I come up with as I do that. There's so much out there that's inspiring in this world, and I really kind of want to translate it into my yarns.
Well, most of your patterns right now are crochet patterns, and I'm not actually sure if I know that you have any knit patterns up on your site now, but I do know, and it's worth noting, that even though you're called the Crochet Dude, you're an accomplished knitwear designer.
Well, thank you for recognizing that. Yeah, I love it. I love knitting. I love to design and knit. The Crochet Dude is a wonderful, you know, part of my split personality. I really enjoy that whole world. That's my whole life is crocheting. And this whole knitting design world is all fresh and new for me. You know, my first book was a knitting book, and I've had knit designs and magazines all along. And it's been really fun to explore, you know, the whole knitting world and the possibilities that are there. Now that I have a yarn that has my name on it, you know, I really feel this motivation to explore every direction that can go, whether it's knit or crochet or weaving or needlepoint or whatever this yarn can do. I want to explore it because it's such a rich opportunity for me. But yes, I've been coming out with knit patterns all along. I have some on my website. I have a few more I need to upload that are prepared. So those will be going up the next week or so. But what I would like to do, this is what I have in mind, is when I put out these patterns, I'd like to put out a knit and crochet version of each pattern. I haven't started doing that yet, but that sounds like it'd be not only just making sure everybody gets the silhouette of the pattern that they like, you know, whether they knit or crochet, but it also sounds like a fun challenge as a designer to capture the essence of this crocheted garment in knit and vice versa. So it should be a fun creative challenge.
Very much a challenge. Very much. Mm-hmm. But now that you have these yarns available, and I know that you're selling to the public both directly to the public through your website, but also at Stitches, I also know that you're selling them or working with a couple of yarn stores and always looking for more yarn stores, giving the proper keystone and supporting them. And you and I have talked. I know it's important for you to make sure that you support the local yarn stores. Can you talk about the need for the local yarn stores?
The thing about the yarn stores, I think that the reason why they're so important, in my opinion, from my point of view, is that I think they've taken the place of our nuclear family, where, you know, we've moved around so much, and I was moved around a lot as a kid. My interaction with my grandmother or my aunts was limited, and before it wasn't. And so when a young person or a new crafter had a question, it was easy, you know, I'm going to stop by Aunt Jeanette's house because she knits, and I just have a quick question for her. And it was like there was just this connection throughout the families. And I think that, because we all move around so much now, to an extent has been lost. It's harder to help somebody over the internet or over the phone. So I think the knit stores have become really important in connecting people. And, you know, if you go into a knit or a yarn shop, I should say, if you go into a yarn shop and you have a knit or crochet question, there are people there that are happy to help you. And so they're serving this purpose of making sure that if you want to develop as a knit or a crocheter, you will. And you'll continue to develop a love that's deeper and deeper. And it's important to me, of course, to support that, because I want to make sure everyone's getting what they need when it comes to any craft. And so, yeah, I do have my yarns available to yarn shops, absolutely, because I want to touch the people that go there. You know, I want to be available to those people. Yarn shops aren't always in big cities. They're in small towns, too, of course, and they're very important parts of those communities. And so to be able to enhance that relationship would mean a lot to me. So, yeah, I have it available for yarn shops, absolutely, so that I can touch those people.
And, of course, you touch a lot of people, you know, at the shows as well. I mean, you do a lot of work with a lot of people to make sure nobody, as you say, no one is ever left out of the circle.
Right. That's very important to me.
So you've got new tools for this. The main way that you promote your yarns is through your website, drewimborski.com. Primarily as an artist and somebody that's very visual, how is it being the web guy and the manager of your e-commerce site? That's got to be a bit of a transition for you.
Well, kind of. I mean, definitely doing the shipping and all that and the customer service part of it, because I'm a one-man band. Definitely... I've had to do research on, like, how to do these things and everything. And, you know, that's a challenge. As a business person, it's a welcome challenge because it's interesting. You know, I often phone friends that are in similar situations in order to help me. But the website itself, you know, it's just, to me, that's just another work of art. That's just, is it visually appealing? Is it easy to use? Does it serve its purpose? You know, does it evoke a response that's emotional, not just, you know, somebody's there to shop? I would hope they would shop and have an experience that they enjoy. So I approach the website itself as it's a piece of art also that has to function.
You've done a good job with it. I like the colors. Very basic, very, very slimmed down. It's very nice.
Right.
Let's move on and talk about your teaching a little bit. Your classes are some of the most popular classes at Stitches. And I've sat in sort of the door listening to you a little bit. My partner Elaine has audited your class as well. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk to me about your teaching style, because, you know, I read the reviews and they're over the moon. So talk to me about what you're trying to accomplish in there, aside from empowering.
Well, you know, again, it comes back on one of my most basic desires with being in this industry, is that everybody gets what they're looking for. Nobody feels left out. And so I always set up the classroom in a U shape so that I can get in front of every single person. And I always make sure that every single person learns what they want to learn. So if somebody falls behind, apparently falls behind from the rest of the class, while the rest of the class is doing something else, I can get back to that person. So I really approach it that everybody deserves to get what they want out of the class. Even if they mistakenly took the class and it's above their skill level, that doesn't mean they can't learn it, you know, with some patience and some guidance. But I approach teaching from a different point of view. I don't like to hand out a handout. I don't like to put words in front of people because they read it, and then they get all confused, and then they try to understand the words. But really, they're there to learn to crochet something. And so I approach it, I think it's called inductive teaching, in that I get them to do it first by walking them through it. It's like, insert your hook, pull up a loop, you know, walk them through every single step of the stitch they're doing. And then I say, by the way, that is called a post-stitch, and this is when you would use it. But first getting them to do it, the fear of doing it I eliminate it immediately. And then once that fear of doing it's gone, because they're already doing it, then I give them the handout that explains to them what they just did, so that when they go home, they can review it and all that. But I definitely approach it from the point of view of do it first, and then we'll understand it later. And that seems to work. People respond to that approach. They respond, let's put it this way. They respond to it kicking and screaming because they really, really want to be reading a pattern or looking at a picture. But once they're doing it, they start to really feel like, wow, I really know what I'm doing now. And, oh, that's what it's called. So once they stop kicking and screaming, which I patiently watch them, I secretly enjoy watching it because I'll be talking it through, and there's always like 30% of the class has this look of fear on their face, but then I watch it melt away. And that nothing makes me happier as a teacher is to see that fear go away. And that, oh, you just changed my life. It's like, yeah, that's what I do.
Well, speaking of changing people's lives, I've had Marley Bird on the show, and I've talked to other people in our industry who have told me that on many occasions you've advised them on how to be successful, how to make inroads towards success, how to move to that next level for the other creative people. You have a history of picking up people and mentoring them and helping them. I kind of want to just ask you about that. You tend to gravitate toward other designers and helping them be successful. You know, is it something you see in them? Is it a mentality? Is it that you see that they do great work? I mean, what is it that gets you going there? Because I find that fascinating. You've done that so many times.
It's an interesting question about, you know, the way you asked it. I think that it's important that I get a good feeling about the person. Like, they're really trying. You know, they're in this. They really want, they're not just playing around. You know, there's a commitment there. But it's also important to me that the person I watch them first before I ever step up and help. Because there are a lot of people you can help, right? You can't help everybody. But the ones that I have helped, they need to demonstrate character. You know, I have to get behind people that are good and that will pay it forward when it's their turn. You know, when they're looking at the next young person trying to break into the industry, they're going to step up and do the same thing. And so I don't think I do any of that consciously. It's just because you asked that I'm thinking it through. But I think there has to be a connection on that level first. And then it's like, well, whatever you need, you know, I'll help. I was just actually on Facebook this morning and a new designer said that he felt guilty for taking the weekend off. And I was like, oh, stop that right now. That's a trap. You know, you have to have the downtime. But I couldn't not say that to it, because that's my experience, is if you don't take time off, then you burn out. It's like, and he's just so fresh and young and has his new stuff coming out now. It's like, don't get trapped. So it's like I can't stop myself from interjecting.
Well, no, you're better at that. You're so much better at that than I am. You know, you and I have talked about this before. I talked about it with Mark. I've talked about a number of people. Finding balance, taking the time to recharge your batteries, making sure that, you know, you keep a regular routine, take time to work out, take the time you need to, you know, to live kind of a healthy lifestyle. And,
right.
And you do that very well and still manage to work a lot of hours at the same time. To our listeners, and especially to me, give me the lecture on that, please. I need to be lectured about this.
Well, you need to go to bed at the same time every night. A good, solid bedtime is important, whether you're at the show or not. It's really important to rest, because if you don't rest physically, you don't bring your A game to the table. Adrenaline can only get you so far. And also, if you don't have a normal life where you have dinner, whether it's with your family or however you do that, weekends you putter around the garden or do your hobby, if you don't keep that balance, then you have nothing left to bring to the table for the creativity. And the creativity, for me, whether it's creativity in business or design or whatever, it's all a creative process. You're creating something out of nothing. Tapping into that creativity takes clarity. You have to be mentally or spiritually clear. And when you're tired or wrung out or stretched too thin, you're unable to get that clarity. And when you don't have that clarity, you can't tap into the intelligence or the creativity or whatever you need to accomplish your tasks. And so I protect very closely. I'm an introvert, so I need to recharge my batteries. I have to be alone. And so I protect that. You know, when I'm at the shows, everyone's like, oh, Drew, you're such a, because I say, look, it's 10 o'clock. I'm going to turn into a pumpkin. I got to go. You know, and I go to bed early. But when I go to bed early, I go back to my room so that I have that quiet time so that I recharge. So the next morning when I'm around people again, I can bring 100% to the table. And I feel it's very important to be that way at home, too, or when I'm in my studio or working in business. So if I don't come 100% to the table, then I'm not going to give what people expect, and I'm not going to feel good about that. And so I really protect it strongly.
I've got to get better about this myself. You'll keep lecturing me in private, right?
Yes. But the thing about it is when you come to the table fully rested and all energized, you're able to work more. So the quality of the 3 hours you put into that is so much higher than if you put 3 hours into it drained. So you can get more done in less hours by protecting your downtime and your health, mental or physical. See what I mean?
I do. I do. It makes all the sense in the world. Now I got to actually just, you know, take your advice and be better about that myself.
Yeah.
I'm
go to
work
bed,
on.
Benjamin.
Go to bed. You know,
set the alarm. Get up early.
I find myself, again, feeling guilty that I haven't gotten back to somebody's emails, or I'm working on documentation for the software, or, you know, something like
that.
I do. Stop
right now.
I know.
Stop it. Because, you know, the work will all be there when you come back to it, and you'll get it done
really
in plenty of time.
Well, and it's never really going to end.
Because it ever ends.
it, you know, whether I put in, you know, yeah, I mean, I do know that it's so ridiculous, because it's not like I'm going to put on some extra hours and get caught up. That's ridiculous.
Right.
So
no, you're never going to get caught up.
Yeah.
So quit pussing.
We've all had that conversation before, you know, what is the best use of my day? But I think the more important thing is, you know, how big of a day should you be having is probably the other piece of the conversation that we should all have. Well, let's move past that for right now. But thank you again for the scolding. I'm going to ask you to scold me on a regular basis about that. And
it would be
to you designers
pleasure.
And yeah, I'm sure. And to you designers and other people in the industry and in other industries, we all do work too hard. Listen to Drew. He knows what he's talking about. You'll be happier. You'll be healthier. So you will move on to the next thing. You have turned this whole thing that you're doing into a real entrepreneurial experience, and you've just kicked that up a notch, and you've made some commitments, and there's some things you're going to do that are going to be happening a little later this summer. Do you want to talk about it with our listeners a little bit?
I'm not really sure what you're talking about.
I bet not.
Are you talking about that little event in August?
That little event in August, yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually very excited about this. Starting in August at the Stitches Midwest, Drew Imborski's actually going to be a sponsor of the show. And it's extremely exciting because the amount of, it always comes back to the same thing. It just feels like the number of people that what I'm doing can touch just expanded. You know, I really just want as many people as I can to experience what I'm doing. And by becoming a sponsor, I just feel like, wow, it's going to envelop so many more people so that they can, you know, maybe find the joys of what I'm doing, you know, enrich their lives too.
Well, it's going to be great. And by the way, from XRX, welcome to the sponsor world of our shows.
Thank you.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great to see your yarns up there on the yarn wall. And it's going to be great to see your yarns merchandised in Knitters Magazine. It's just a whole brand new world out there that's going to be so exciting to just see more. You know, I mean, the title of this show is Got Drew, and the answer is you can never have enough Drew, right? So this is going to be, for all you people, there's going to be more Drew. We're going to bring you more Drew. It's going to be very exciting.
The amount of expansion by becoming a sponsor just feels so rich and so, I don't know, encompassing of the experience. I'm just really looking forward to it a lot. And to seeing my stuff in Knitters Magazine, that's going to be cool.
That's going to be very cool. Yes.
Yeah.
That's going to be very cool. But yeah, I actually want to see, you know, the Drew Imborski logo up there on the yarn wall, because you've seen that yarn wall that's just swapped before with people to keep clipping. I mean, that's going to be awesome.
And to be able to touch all those people that are out there, you know, because they go to that yarn wall and it's like, wow, look at how beautiful everything is. And to be a part of that is actually, it's kind of humbling.
Well, you know, thank you for believing in us and thank you for coming on board. It's going to be great. It's going to be a fun time in Schaumburg as we kick this all off. That's in early August, folks, in Schaumburg, Illinois, outside of Chicago. And you can find more about that at knittinguniverse.com/events. And I think you probably have it up on your site too, Drew. It's drewimborski.com/events.
I think workshops is how I have it. I talk about where I'm teaching. So all the classes I'm teaching at Chicago are there. And I'm kind of expecting those to sell out fairly early. So take advantage of the early bird pricing between now and May 21st, I think it is.
May 21st,
to lock in those classes.
I strongly recommend that because his classes tend to go very, very fast. So we've come to the
especially
part of the
show at Midwest.
At Midwest, yeah. Midwest is a beautiful venue. That hotel is absolutely gorgeous.
That hotel is unbelievable.
It really is. I mean, you know, I think it was Kathy Elkins that went there one time and she says, can we just sort of stay here? And I thought, sounds good
no
to me. Beautiful.
Amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what we should do? We should give away just a couple of prizes. Do you want to give away some prizes to some callers?
I think we should give away prizes.
Okay. So we'll start with you. Callers, get ready. The call-in number is the guest call-in number is 718-664-9655. And what are we going to give away?
I would like to give away a $100 gift certificate to my website. So you can come and see all my books and hooks and yarns and pick out what you want.
Wow. Well, that's pretty cool. All right. Well, so what we're going to do is we're going to take the second caller that comes in and it's starting to light up. That's the first caller.
Ding, 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 ding.
Ding, 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 ding. So they can get, it's basically a $100 gift certificate for anything on your site.
Anything on my site.
Okay. I'm still waiting for more callers, folks. Well, there's one right now, and we're going to pick that one. I would ask that if you're on the line, please turn down the volume on your computer or whatever device you're listening to so we don't get the echo of death like we did last time. So we're going to take area code 845. Area code 845, you're on the air.
I did. Hooray.
Who's this?
I think so. I'm getting applauded in the background, too.
Hello.
It's Allison in New York.
Hi,
Allison.
I'm doing great.
Congratulations, well, Allison.
I'm excited. I don't only win on Marley's. I won here too. Cool.
Yeah, she's a professional podcast winner.
Winner.
Yeah. She is.
Yeah.
Congrats, Allison.
Especially if it's something
so,
Allison, I really, really want.
So, Allison, the way that this is going to work is it's very much like how Marley does hers, which is you send me an email and I'll forward it on to Drew. I need all your contact information and send it to Benjamin@fiberhooligan.com.
Okay, cool.
All right?
Yeah.
Okay, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Hey, Drew, I just wanted to tell you, you know that the vest that Marley had designed for you?
Uh-huh.
The Drew? I'm the contract knitter for that.
Oh, my gosh, are you kidding? I thought she had a machine do it. It's so beautiful. No, I told her that the other day. It's like the stitches are so amazing.
Oh,
good
yeah.
Job.
No, I love that. It was a fun piece.
You know, I wore that.
Good job.
Pardon?
I wore that piece in the fashion show.
I know. I have pictures of you in it.
It's a gorgeous piece. She almost didn't get it back.
Oh, yeah. I can understand that. But then
you
again,
did a nice job with that,
things, there's a lot of things I do for her that I don't want to send back either. So,
all right.
Oh, this
thank
is
you,
exciting. I've been looking forward to working with your yarn, so here's a good chance.
Oh, it'd be great.
Yay. Yeah, thanks. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye now.
Well, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, awesome.
Well, I can't be outdone by you, so I'm going to give away something myself. Can't be outdone by you. So what I'm going to do is for any stitches in Stitches Event left in 2013 or 14, I'm going to give away one class with Drew Imborski. So, yes, I know. So if you get there, you're going to have a credit for this class. And I am going to take the fourth caller that calls in. So, and the area code is 718-664-9655, and I have somebody on the line here. So, we're going to go to area code 401. Area code 401, you're on the air. Hello? Well, 401 hung up on us. Okay, so.
No.
They just wanted your yarn. They didn't want you to teach for them. True. I can't imagine. We'll take area code 217. Area code 217, you're on the air.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi. This is Gina Mitchell.
Hi, Gina. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm just doing great. Even better now.
Where are you calling from?
From Illinois.
Awesome.
Okay.
From
wonderful.
Illinois, and I am going to be at Stitches Midwest this August, so that would be great.
That'd be great. So one of the things, if you're planning on using this this credit for Drew, my recommendation is send me the email right away, and let's turn this around in the next 48 hours, because, you know, you could be looking at sold-out classes for him, because that shows
okay.
up.
Okay. I sure so will.
Have you ever been to Stitches before?
I was there a couple years ago, but just for an afternoon. So
okay.
This time I'm there for the whole time.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful.
I'm very
well,
excited.
That's very awesome. And so you'll be there when Drew takes his first step into the sponsorship world as well, and you'll be able to take a class with him as well. That's going to be great.
Oh, it's going to be fabulous. Thank you.
So would you give me a favor? Would you send me an email to Benjamin@fiberhooligan.com so we can get all this wrapped up and get you taken care of?
I sure will.
Okay. Well, great. Well, congratulations, and thanks for calling in.
Thank you. You guys have a great
Bye.
Day.
Thanks.
Bye.
Well, that was awesome.
That's awesome.
I love giving away prizes. Marley's right. It's
Me
just
too.
The best. Yep.
It is.
Well, my friend, we've been on the phone for well over an hour now. I extended the time twice. And so I should probably let you get on with your day. I just can't. Like I said, guys, you can never get enough Drew. It's just hard for me to not talk to him about stuff.
Yeah, you're funny.
You're funny. Okay, well, Drew, I'll ask the same thing that I tend to ask everybody at the end of the show, which is an open-ended question. Before we wrap this up, is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners, to your listeners, to your fans, to anybody you want to say hi to, or any advice or anything you want to say?
Well, I don't think I say it enough, but I do want to say thank you to everyone. I mean, everything I'm doing is like a dream come true, and it's because of the people that have been so supportive over the years. So I just want to say thank you to everyone. It means the world to me that, you know, they would take their time out to visit with me. So thank you.
Thank you, Drew, for joining us again this morning. I hope you come back and join me on the show in the future, would you?
Oh, it would be my pleasure.
That's great. Okay, that was Drew Imborski, folks, teacher, designer, and crochet icon. Make sure that you keep up with Drew by visiting his website, drewimborski.com, and that's one you're going to want to bookmark. Next week, I'll have Myra Wood on the show. She's a wonderful knit and crochet designer and teacher. She'll be talking about a very special project that she's working on, and it's secret for right now, and I'm not going to tell you anymore because I'm teasing you. We'll have to tune in to find out. And, of course, next week, I'll have my guest co-hooligan on the show to help me with the interview with Myra. If you've missed the announcement about that, then let me fill you in. Last week, I explained that I'm holding a contest for a guest host for next week's episode. 2 weeks ago, I asked for submissions for this contest. The deadline for entries is midnight tonight. I'll go over these details one more time. If you're interested in being my co-hooligan for the show, please email me at benjamin@fiberhooligan.com. You can send me an MP3. You can send me a quick webcam video. You can send me a short essay. The important part is that you tell me why you want to be my co-hooligan. I'll go through the entries later tonight and slim those entries down to 3 finalists. Those finalists will be invited to join me on a closed podcast audition for the job sometime this week. By this Friday, April 26th, I'll have chosen my co-host, and I'll announce my co-host online this Friday evening on the Nindy Universe Facebook page. Please make sure you send me all of your contact information so I can get a hold of you in real time if you qualify as a finalist. Who is this contest open to? Well, it's open to anybody. I'd ask that you are at least 18 years of age and that you have the ability to actually join me on that Monday morning as my co-host. If you win and can't make it because you're working, that would be really sad for everybody, including the people that didn't win. Now the why. Why should you do this? Well, for one, it would be fun. I don't know, bragging rights? Yes, I'm a realist. I know that every good contest has a kicker, and so here's mine. The person that I select to be my co-host will also win a Stitches Works package for any Stitches event in 2013 or 14. That's a $695 value and includes 21 hours of classes, the opening day program, teacher a la carte luncheon, the fashion show dinner, the student banquet and style show, and an all-access pass to the Stitches Market throughout that weekend. If you missed any of that contest info or any of the links to Drew's website, please don't worry. You'll be able to find all that in the show notes for this episode at fiberhooligan.com just as soon as I get a chance to write them up and post them. And I've been doing better about that. I promise I'll get that up fairly quickly. So that's our show, Fiber Hooligans. As we slide out of here today, I'd like to wish you all a glorious week. Remember, the only thing better than being creative is being kind to each other. The good news is you can do both. Thank you for spending this time. I'll see you next week on another edition of Fiber Hooligans.